Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Welcome back to another special edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here during this election season. You're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. And I'm your host, Ed Holliday. And we do have new listeners coming in by the thousands. And we appreciate you downloading this show, listening to us, telling your friends about it, because this is a show that you'll hear things here you won't hear anywhere else. And that's, again, a proven in today's show, because we got some great speakers here that we're going to interview and talk about the election. The title of this show is Why Minorities Should Not Vote to Reelect Barack Obama. And the reason why is we're going to find out. We're going to be speaking to a radio TV personality. That's Mickey Addison. She'll be on a show telling us why she feels like minorities should not vote for Barack Obama from her point of view. And she's an African-American. Then we got Michael Johnson, also an African-American, is going to share his views of why he is not voting for Barack Obama for president here in a couple weeks on November 6th. And we also have Professor Frank D. Verona. And he's a professor, written several books, but he's got a book now in Spanish that explains why the Hispanic population should not vote for Barack Obama as president of the United States. And so we're going to be talking to these citizens and their all-important duty of who to vote for president. They're telling me they will not be voting for Barack Obama. And you need to understand why these minorities are not going to vote for him. And also, we got to let you know that this show, in the election news update, brought to you by Freedom Works. Go there. You can click on our banner right there on our homepage. But go there and check out Freedom Works. See what you can do for your country by going through Freedom Works. And one thing before we get started right here, I just want to remind everybody, very important to go back, listen to our last couple of shows, why Hispanics should vote for Mitt Romney, why women should vote for Mitt Romney, and now this week's why minorities should not vote for Barack Obama. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to get right into it. All right, we got on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We got a radio television personality, Mickey Addison. Mickey, we're glad to have you on. And you are an African-American. And what do you think about Barack Obama these past 4 years?
Well, thank you so much, first of all, Doc, for having me on the show. I appreciate that. Yes, I am an African-American. And, I've developed a few opinions about our president over the last 4 years. But I'll tell you what, I would have these opinions if I were not an African-American. I think just being an American and just living in this country and having a biblical worldview is what has shaped my opinion. And so if I would just kind of, not have a starting point, if I would just start making observations, I would say one of the things that's been disheartening for me has been to see the division that has kind of persisted in our country. You think that when you have an election and you have a president and it's such a historical election, you would think that things would begin to get better. But I've seen over the past 4 years that tensions have just kind of risen in our country. So that's disheartening. when I look at legislation that's been put into place to take more black lives, you know, as opposed to
what you would think would be the opposite. Yes.
I am. Yeah, I'm speaking specifically about abortion. That's disheartening, you know. I look at the debt, and you know, and here's the deal. I'm not what you would call, you know, a financial expert. In mm-hmm. fact, you know, a lot of our budgeting is done by my husband.
Okay.
But I do know this. I know that any family has to have a budget, and I know that you cannot spend more than you earn. Now, there are a lot of families that do this, Doc. They spend more than they earn, but they shouldn't. And it's not long before the house comes crashing down, sometimes literally. So I look at stuff like that, and I feel like our president has done, especially the black community, a huge disservice.
Now, why would you say especially the black community a huge disservice?
Well, because I think that he has perpetuated a myth that mm-hmm. black people are lazy and that they don't want to work, and that they are interested in handouts, and that they just can't do better. And so when you have someone in the highest office in our country sort of saying, here's what I want to do, I want to be able to give you these things so that you don't have to struggle, it sounds good on the surface, but I always like to look at the deeper meaning. I like to look for what people are not saying. And to me, what he's saying is, I want to make it comfortable for you to, you know, to not work. And I'm not trying to be ugly when I say that. I know. And I'll just tell you this, Doc. Mm-hmm. I was raised by a single mom. I know firsthand the struggles. So I'm not trying to be, you know, ugly towards people who genuinely have a need. And I think that in some ways our churches have failed to meet mm-hmm. that need. And, you know, in other ways, the government has stepped up as a willing participant to do much damage to the family. But I think when you have a person in the highest office, you know, in the land saying, we want to increase these kinds of programs, we want to be able to give you more without requiring anything of you, I think it hurts the humanity inside of us. You know, and that transcends race, but I'll speak specifically as a black American. It hurts black men at their core. There is a purpose for, you know, having a job and working using your hands. If you'll remember in Genesis in the beginning when God created Adam, the Bible says that he put him in the garden to work and to tend it. Now, Doc, that was before the fall. So work was not a punishment. It's not something that we would look at and say, well, you know, we're under a curse and that's why we've got to... No, now that work became laborious and we had to do that by the sweat of our brow. But it was a gift that God gave to Adam to have a purpose and to feel like, well, to feel like a man. He's doing something, you know. So I just think it's unfair for someone to all of a sudden come along and redefine that and say, you know what, you just need to keep depending on the government, and that's going to get you ahead in life. It's false.
So you're saying, as a African American, you're saying that you're not planning on voting for Barack Obama, and why would you encourage other minorities not to vote for Barack Obama to be reelected?
Oh, Doc, there are many reasons
why I'm not voting.
For current President Barack Obama, but I'll start with this, and you know, I know that people say we should not be, you know, one issue or single issue voters. We shouldn't, uh-huh. you know, stake our claim in on one issue. But I'll tell you this: I have three children, and I don't know how you describe it, but I am unapologetically pro-life. And when you have a president in office who has what I call a vicious philosophy on life issues. I think it's vicious. I think it's hateful. You know,
that's a strong word, Mickey. And but that's the way you feel about this president and his philosophy on the young in inside a mother's womb.
Well, for someone to say if there is a botched abortion and the baby, you know, is delivered alive, for him to say, kill it, for him to, as a senator, to vote, to say, you know, to make that law, to say that you can then kill that baby, to me, that is vicious. To me, that is like, you know, it conjures up an image of a wild dog finding a baby, you know, unattended in the wilderness. And actually, Doc, you might get more compassion from the wild animal,
than to say,
let's kill that baby. So I can't, you know, looking at the issues and knowing what I know, I almost feel like I'm accountable to God for what I know. If I didn't know, then I can't be held accountable, right? Maybe to some degree, but I do know, and I am, you know, extremely accountable. And so I couldn't, in good conscience, I couldn't stand before God and say that I was willing to put someone in office who I knew had policies and, you know, by all the things that he's presented to us in the public, I feel like his convictions are not consistent with Scripture. Why do you, you know, you now have an entire party, the Democratic Party, trying to redefine marriage. So how do we as Christians, and by and large, you know, I don't know the exact statistics off the top of my head, but somewhere up in like 80 or 90% of Americans who claim to be Christian are black. Black Americans in large numbers are Christian. And so that means that we believe the Bible. How do you believe the Bible, but then because the president is black, allow him to redefine marriage separate from what the Word of God says? It just is inconsistent with being a true believer, and I believe that we're going to give an account for that.
Well, now, Mickey, you're telling me that, and I know that's your belief, and yet we see some polls showing that 95% of African Americans voted for the president last time, and there's reason to believe he'll get 95% of the black vote again. Are you seeing anything different?
Oh, yeah, and, you know, I would say that number is probably a little bit higher. If I had to, you know, and sometimes, you know, I found myself over the last 4 years trying to be defensive of the black community and say, you know, well, it wasn't black people that put Barack Obama in office, just because I felt I didn't want to be responsible for that in any way. But I'll tell you, I think the number's a lot higher. And I still say, you know, it wasn't solely the black vote that put President Barack Obama in office.
Yes.
But it helped a lot. And, you know, here's what's going on now. I think that if people kind of, you know, step back and say, well, we're just going to let this thing kind of play itself out and see what happens, we'll be in a lot of trouble. But I think if true Bible-believing Christians first, black Americans second, if true Bible-believing Christian black Americans step up and say, listen, at some point we have got to stop making our ethnicity an idol and even putting that before God. And we've got to say, you know what, I wish that I could put a black man in office who espoused these views. Yes, I would like to do that, but this man is not that man. And so I've got to go with God, I've got to go with Scripture over the color of someone's skin. And if we're really honest, I would say this to any black American face to face. I've done it, Doc, I've done it.
Okay.
You know that you voted for Barack Obama because he's black. You know it. Most black Americans, and man, most might be, you know, many black Americans can't even tell you about his policy.
And that was Mickey Addison, and she's very upfront about why she would not vote for Barack Obama. And I think she made some interesting points. We're letting this show, again, be a special show. I wanted her to speak up and tell others why she was voting against Barack Obama and why she encouraging others to make sure they don't vote for Barack Obama this time. In just a minute, I'm going to play you a clip, a 30-second ad that's going on. I know it's in North Carolina, and they're trying to get it in Pennsylvania and Ohio. There's a group for the Coalition of African American Pastors. I've mentioned that to you before. In fact, Reverend William Owens, he's the president and head of the coalition. They call it CAP, and he's been on this show before and a good friend of ours. And so let me play this 30-second commercial for you and see what you think and see if it lines up with what Mickey believes.
Same-sex couples should be able to get married.
The president is in the White House because of the civil rights movement, and I was in that movement. And I didn't march 1 inch, 1 foot, 1 yard for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman. Mr. President, I'm not going to stand with you. And there are thousands of others across this country that are not going to stand with you with this foolishness.
The Coalition of African American Pastors is responsible for the content of this
episode. And even as you're listening to this, Reverend Owens is in the state of Ohio and Pennsylvania, and we're glad that he's out there standing strong on his convictions, his religious convictions that he's had all his life, and he's saying it's time for the black church to stand up for the principles of the Bible and forget about who's president, forget about the color of skin, forget about what the Democratic Party has said and told you that it's okay for a man to marry a man. He's saying it's time to stand up, and he's getting responses. So be interested to see how that plays out coming up in the next couple of weeks. And as Reverend Owens, but not only Reverend Owens, but there are other religious leaders, and probably the most well-known religious leader alive today is the Reverend Billy Graham. Dr. Graham came out last week with an ad. He did not endorse anyone, but he said, vote for candidates who support traditional marriage of one man and one woman, and support candidates who support pro-life positions. That tells you who to vote for in the presidential election, I believe. This is the man who's prayed with every president, is Harry Truman, and he said he's 94 years old. This may well be the very last presidential election he ever votes for. There's going to be some people out there who say, let's win this one for Billy. What effect will that have? We don't know. In the Bible, it talks about Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night because he didn't want to be seen with him. Well, how many people are going to get in a polling booth? You've heard Mickey Addison, and we'll hear others. And this show, some of you might say, well, it's too religious. This show is too religious. Well, I'm showing you what is going on in the minds and the lives of minorities in this country when this president has stomped on their religious liberties, and some of them are standing up and saying, we've had enough. Also, I told you we got a Hispanic, Frank D. Verona, just written a book about Obama and why he should not be reelected. So we're going to get right in an interview with him right now.
I study, of course, in the United States. I have 3 degrees, and all my life I've been very interested in politics and economics and so forth. And I'm quite concerned about the coming election, of course, because of Barack Obama's connection with Marxism, with Marxist socialists, and many radicals.
And talking about his connections with Marxists, and you've seen what happened in Cuba. You had tell us a little bit about the similarities you saw in Cuba and what you see in the United States today.
Well, the similarities are very clear to me. We had Fidel Castro, who made a lot of promises to have free elections, respect freedoms, establish democratic government. And a lot of people believed in that and supported Fidel Castro. And then instead of that, we got a bloody dictatorship for almost 54 years in a country that's just 50 miles away from the United States. So I think it's very important that we in the United States pay close attention to this presidential election so that we do not suffer the same fate as in Cuba.
And now, Frank, you're talking about the presidential election. It's coming up very soon here, and you live in Miami, Florida, and that is a very important state in the presidential election. And can you tell us about what you see in the Miami area? We always hear it's heavily Democratic, and it's probably going to go for Barack Obama. What do you see happening in the ground around Miami?
Well, I think this year is quite different from 2008. In 2008, 70% of the Cuban Americans voted for McCain. Mm-hmm. But, of course, we don't live just here. There are a lot of Democrats that live here as well.
Right.
And young Cubans, especially young Cubans, voted for Barack Obama, because they went to our universities where there's so many socialist professors and so forth. But anyway, a lot of the people that voted for Barack Obama are unemployed today. 50% of the graduates in the United States cannot find a job in their own field. That's an outrage, because that has never happened since the 1930s in our nation.
Cuban Americans that did vote for Obama, the youth did. Do you think they're going to be voting for Romney, or more of them will be voting for Romney as they get the message?
Yes, I think they are going to vote for Romney. And in fact, there was a poll that was done by the Miami Herald and the Tampa newspaper. The results were published yesterday, and 51% of Florida, according to the polls, this particular poll, are voting for Romney and 44% for Obama.
That's a big difference.
So as of yesterday, Romney's winning Florida.
One of the most important voting blocks is the Hispanic vote, and I know that includes more than just the Cuban Americans, but the Hispanic vote in Florida, in Colorado, in Nevada, very, very important. And you've got a new book, and it's about Barack Obama. Can you tell us about the book?
Yes, this is the third book that I have written on Barack Obama. This book is in Spanish because so many Hispanics do not read English well, and it is for them that I wrote it. And it's called simply, a very simple name, it's Obama Romney. And there I start with the whole life of Barack Obama, who's been associated with Marxists since the age of 10. Mm-hmm. Both parents, at least the father, definitely was a Marxist, anti-colonialist from Kenya. And the mother was a sympathizer or fellow traveler, as we call them. And it's quite dangerous for the United States. And we've seen the radical transformation of our nation in just 4 years. How far he has taken us the wrong road. And now, of course, he's asking us to re-elect him so he can finally complete his radical plans for our nation.
Why do you think that so many Hispanics and Latinos, they overwhelmingly voted for Barack Obama last time? Is it lack of information? And how do we get them the information if they don't really know what his agenda is?
Well, unfortunately, most of the Mexican Americans and Puerto Ricans are Democrats. You know, they've always been Democrats, so they tend to vote overwhelmingly for that political party.
Mm-hmm.
Even though this Barack Obama has increased the unemployment enormously in the Hispanic community,
right,
and unemployment. And but of course, I think a lot of them are just ignorant of the background of Barack Obama. And this is why I'm hoping that if somehow they're able to read my book, they might change their minds.
How can they, right now, just tell us, how can they get your book, Frank?
Well, it's being sold at Amazon, you know, through the Internet.
Okay.
And it's very simple to buy the book through the Internet. All you have to do is just put my name there, Frank DeVarona, DeVarona, and then or put the name of the book, Obama or Romney, and then it would appear, and then you can purchase it for $25 in the paperback form. And if you have a Kindle tablet, you can buy it for $2.99.
Well, that's
$2.99. Yes.
So, people, if you got a Kindle, they can get $2.99 and get the best information they can find, can't they, Frank?
Thank you, thank you. Yes, I do hope that many Hispanics read it. They've been overwhelmed because the two major stations that put news, Univision and Telemundo, both of them are dominated by radicals. You know, one Univision was just purchased by a supporter of Barack Obama. He's a Jew born in Egypt by the name of Haim Saban. He just named his wife ambassador to the United Nations, even though she has no experience whatsoever in foreign policy. So all of the things that are coming to the Hispanic community through those two TV stations or networks is all propaganda for Obama. They act as if they're part of the Obama campaign.
Now, go back, Frank, just a minute and make sure I understand. Who bought the Telemundo station?
Univision.
Oh, Univision.
Yeah, Univision was purchased by a person that was born in Egypt who is of Jewish religion. And, in fact, he had to flee Egypt and move to Israel, and then he came to Hollywood, where he made billions of dollars, you know, in Hollywood.
Right, and
so
his
he
wife.
Had given Obama thousands of dollars, perhaps more than that, and he supports Obama through his television station, you know. Mm-hmm. Univision is one of the biggest seen by Hispanics throughout the United States.
And he said he's appointed his wife UN ambassador. Is that
yes?
Who was the
main UN ambassador is Susan Rice.
Right.
But there are other people that work with her, and he just appointed this person. His last name is Saban. S-A-B-A-N.
I just want to make sure people understood. It's not Susan Rice. That's
no
not
Susan Rice still there. That's the one that he was sent to lie to fight the networks.
Right.
About what happened in Libya. There was a cover-up and a lie there. But no, he appointed his wife like an assistant to Susan Rice.
Okay.
Even though she doesn't have no experience in foreign policy, only that her husband is a supporter of Barack Obama and owns the largest TV network in Spain.
And faithful listeners, that was Frank D. Verona, and I hope you'll go get his book at Amazon. I'm going on our homepage. I'll put a link to that. And also want to let you know, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics. This is our special edition, Why Minorities Should Not Vote for Barack Obama. And we got one more interview here coming up with Michael Jones. And I'd want to remind everybody to stay tuned. Right after that interview, we will have the election news update brought to you by FreedomWorks. And you want to find out, because we are getting down to the nitty-gritty of this election. So stay tuned. We're going to listen to Michael Johnson tell us why he thinks minorities should not vote for Barack Obama. And he's coming up right now. He's an African-American, and he is on the line. In decades past, he is... had run in with the Klan. He's had he's not afraid to stand up for his convictions and what he believes in. And that's one of the things I like about Michael. And even the Department of Justice had to swoop in and get him out and fly him out of some hot areas and help protect lives. So I'm glad that Michael Johnson is joining us today. And welcome to Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics, Michael.
Glad to be with you this evening.
Well, we're glad to have you on the show, and one of the things that impresses me about you, you're not afraid to stand up for what you believe in, and you will not be voting for Barack Obama on November 6th. And as a black American, some people think, hey, you know, you're black, you're supposed to vote for Barack Obama. Why aren't you fitting in that mold?
Well, the election on the 6th of November is not about a man's color. It's, to me, it's about what's right and what's wrong, and the man that you're voting for and what he represents and what he espouses.
What about President Obama that turns you off, that you don't want to vote for him or support him?
Well, as a worshiper of God and a follower of Christ, the simple question is, do I vote for the man that espouses homosexual marriage and the killing of innocent children, or do I vote for the man who espouses marriage and responsibility?
Well, yeah, we've had 4 years of Barack Obama, and some people say the African-American population have voted about 95% for him last time. And do you think that'll change this time around, or what are your thoughts, or what do you hear about that, Michael?
Well, I don't think it'll be that heavily a high number this time for Barack, because I'm hoping some African-American black people will wake up to what's actually going on and what's at stake in this election. And instead of voting for color, vote for what's right. And most people know what's right in their hearts. And if they sit down and they think about it, they need to do the right thing.
Those are moral convictions that I know you get from your Christian background and your Christian beliefs. But how about, $4 gas in places and energy? Do you think that has a lot? Do people think about that when they vote for president?
I know I do, because I think about it every time I go to the gas station. And I believe most people are like me. It's it's painful every time I have to fill up my gas tank.
And I think they pointed out, overall American salary, the American income has gone down about $4,000. And do you see prices going up at the grocery store as well as the gas pump like most everybody else?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And African Americans, black Americans, we feel it even more because we have less resources to acquire, the necessities of life. So I know my community is feeling it.
In the past, sometimes I've heard one of the black congressmen say, if Bill Clinton was in the White House, they'd be marching on the White House if the unemployment so high in the black community and gas prices high. There's this sense of loyalty to Barack Obama, and yet at the same time, you wonder why. How long would that loyalty go? It obviously has run out for you. When you look at the whole America, regardless of color of your skin, it's been tough on working Americans.
You're right, and I'm saying even if you did vote for Barack the first time, you have 4 years of his record, and he's giving you quite an example of what he's capable of, what he believes in. So now, the second time around, you need to make the choice.
Yeah, that old saying, fool me once, shame on right. you, fool me twice, shame on me.
Shame on me.
And that's really, I think, sums up the Barack Obama 4 years right there. There are a lot of folks really got caught up, and I can't, obviously, I didn't care for him the first time because I felt like I knew what he'd do, and he sure enough went to the far left. He didn't try to be in the center, and he tried to change the moral character of our nation along with our economy, but so many people really believed what he said, but I get confused about how can people not see what's going on. And do you see that in your community?
Absolutely. You know, there's seems to me just a blind loyalty to this president. And most people aren't really up to speed with some of the things that he's doing behind the scenes with some of these executive orders that he's doing. And that's very troubling to me. Outreach basically is to people who believe in God, who call themselves Christians, who attend church, and who have a sense of morality and what's right or wrong. Someday you'll have to face God, and he's going to ask you in the election of 2012, did you vote for the man who espoused wickedness before God, or did you vote for the man who espoused righteousness before God?
Wow, and that's a powerful message from Michael Jones. He's not a preacher. He's just some hardworking American that happens to be black, and he is not going to vote for Barack Obama. You just heard him say that, and he's encouraging other minorities to wake up and see what's best for our nation. And so we appreciate not only Michael, but Mickey Addison and Frank D. Verona, and hope everybody got a good idea why minorities, like all Americans, should not vote for Barack Obama to be reelected. Now, we got the election news update, and there's so much to talk about, and it's brought to you by FreedomWorks. And let me just remind you that FreedomWorks for America is leading the charge to elect the true fiscal conservatives this November. These guys and gals really do the hard work that win elections. They're laying the groundwork to continue our 2010 success into 2012. So go to freedomworksforamerica.com to get free candidate materials for grassroots activism and donate. Listen, I want to remind everybody, we are down into the last couple of weeks. This is it, the nitty-gritty. Everything that America has been working for in the conservative movement, it's all up for stake. Nobody can get complacent. Don't look at the polls other than saying we've got to work harder. No matter what it says, you've got to work harder. Don't run out of steam. Don't run out of energy. Give it all you got. And there's ways to get plugged in. We've talked about it before. Election news update brought to you by FreedomWorks. Let me tell you the most exciting news that I've seen. And I just said don't get complacent. Don't look at polls. Don't study them. Just see them to give you some direction. And direction is going to Pennsylvania. We see some movement toward Romney. But not only that, we see movement from the incumbent senator, Democrat Casey in Pennsylvania. His opponent was 18 points behind a month ago. Hey, he's 2 points behind in the latest poll. We've got a horse race. This is what I'm going to tell you. We've got toss-ups all over about 10 states, depending on that'll determine which way the Senate goes. I said 10, it could be up to 14, could be 16 to 18 states. It could go either way when it comes up to election on we're talking about control of the United States Senate. It's got to be wrestled out of the hands of the majority leader now, Harry Reid. He is killing this country, not letting anything come through. If Romney wins, won't do much good as long as Harry Reid's sitting in a majority chair right there in the U.S. Senate. He'll block everything that could be worthwhile for this country, and Obamacare will not be defeated if Harry Reid is still the majority leader. So get out and get to work. Let me tell you the states. Connecticut, we've got to get Linda McMahon in. She is running neck and neck with a Democrat. He's not the incumbent. It's an open seat. The Democrat, former, well, he is a congressman, Murphy. So get out there. All our friends in Connecticut work for Linda McMahon. Let me tell you about Ohio. We have mentioned that before. Big, big uphill battle for a Marine, a state treasurer in Ohio is running against Sherrod Brown, the incumbent senator, very liberal senator. We've got to get in there and help Josh Mandel. Romney's got to win Ohio. And if you'll get in there and work hard for Romney, we'll get Josh Mandel in the Senate too. We've mentioned Missouri before. Yes, Missouri. It is still a battleground. I know Aiken really stuck his foot in his mouth. Republican Party cut him off cold from cash. But this guy can still win. It could put the Senate over into the Republican area. Conservatives are helping out. Rick Santorum, others are going in there and helping out Aiken in Missouri. Check that out. All our friends in Missouri, get out there and vote for Romney. And by all means, check the box for Aiken, too. And let's get the United States Senate over into the conservative territory. Now, other states, Florida. Polls were looking better for Romney there, but Connie Mack is still behind the incumbent Democrat liberal Nelson there. So work hard there in Florida and don't give up. Again, you cannot get complacent. You got to remember, we've got to pull Connie Mack up along with Romney to win Florida. Another state that we're looking at as far as very important in the Senate race, I'm going to say our friends in Hawaii. Look at Hawaii. They say that the former governor out there cannot win the Republican for Republican ticket. She won governor, and that's little, and she can win again as a U.S. senator. Get out there and help her out. And one of the things that I like, when you look across the country, where is one of the big battleground states in the United States Senate? It's right in Virginia. So important for Romney, very important for who controls the Senate. It's a former Governor Kane in Virginia. He's a very popular moderate type Democrat, and he is in a race against a former senator, George Allen, who was beat 6 years ago, and George Allen is really running hard. It is so close. We've got to have all our friends in Virginia getting out there, knocking on doors. Listen, folks, we can do this. Do not get complacent. This is the year to work harder than you've ever done before. Yes, we could have a landslide. Yes, we need a landslide. Yes, not only to win, to get the Senate, that there are so many close races. There will not be a Republican Senate and White House unless every conservative and moderate and anybody that knows this country is in dire shape unless we get some new conservative members in the Senate and the House and also the White House. Do not slow down. Do not give up, because you got to remember the most important four words in 2012, getobamaoutnow.com. Next week, we're going to be hearing from Foster Freeze, a great American about free enterprise. He knows how to run businesses. Not only him, we'll have others on the show talking about why Americans everywhere, freedom-loving Americans, all need a vote for Mitt Romney. Get this nation turned around so we'll win the White House, the U.S. Senate, and keep the House in bigger numbers. It's all on you and me working together. Let's get to work. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.